Welcome back to the Deep Dive. It is Tuesday, January 27th, 2026. We are right at the starting line of what's shaping up to be, a pretty pivotal year for the global economy. And smack in the middle of it all, the auto industry.
It always is. It's the bellwether. I mean, if you really want to know where the economy is going in 2026, not just where the markets hope it's going, you look at who's buying cars.
Yes.
And more importantly, what the industry is actually getting ready to sell them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate litmus test for consumer confidence, for supply chain health, you name it. And to navigate all this, we're not just, you know, speculating. We are digging into a source.
Mm-hmm.
It's titled 2026 Automotive Market Outlook and Sales Projections. Yeah. Now, I know market outlook sounds like, you know, it sounds like a really dry corporate white paper.
It does. It sounds pretty dull.
But there's something specific in the subtext here that we really need to get into.
Right. We're looking at the sales trends to watch. And watch is, it's the key word there. It implies we're in a state of flux. This isn't a history lesson on 2025. It's a look at a moving target.
And that's our mission for today. We're breaking down this forecast, not just for car enthusiasts, but really for anyone trying to get a read on the economic playing field this year.
I think that's crucial.
We're unpacking the outlook, the projections, and the trends to see what they're actually telling us about the road ahead.
And honestly, just getting inside the head of the market right now it's vital. We need to understand what the industry thinks is going to happen versus what might actually happen.
Okay, so let's start there. Let's parse the language.
Mm-hmm.
Because the source draws this distinction between outlook and a projection.
Mm-hmm.
In a lot of industries, and frankly, in just casual conversation, we use those interchangeably.
Like you do, all the time. But in a report like this, they are absolutely pulling different levers.
What's the difference?
They're distinct. And the distinction is, it's vital for anyone trying to actually use this data. Think of the outlook as the qualitative environment. It's
yep.
the description of the terrain. It's consumer sentiment, supply chain stability, the geopolitical mood, the cost of raw materials, all of that stuff.
So the outlook is the context. It's the why before we get to the what.
Precisely. It's the weather system. The projection, on the other hand, is the quantitative result. It's the hard math that comes out of navigating that terrain, you know, the unit sales, the margins, the volume.
So the projection is the number, but the outlook is kind of the confidence interval surrounding that number.
That is the perfect way to put it. And that's where people, you know, where listeners often get tripped up. They see a sales projection of, say, 10 million units, and they treat it as a promise.
Right, like it's a deposit in the bank.
Exactly. But this document frames it as a calculated probability that's based on the current outlook. If that outlook shifts, if the weather changes, if interest rates spike, if a supply line breaks, that projection has to be recalculated instantly.
Which makes this whole document less of a crystal ball and more of a risk assessment tool.
That's it. It represents the industry's collective best guess based on the data that's available right now in January 2026. It is a snapshot of current confidence. And frankly, in 2026, confidence is a currency all its own.
That's a really interesting point, because when we talk about projections, we're essentially talking about the industry placing bets.
Huge bets.
They're betting on the consumer showing up.
They're betting billions on the consumer showing up. And that leads us to the other half of this title, the sales trends to watch.
Yes, I wanted to zero in on that subtitle, sales trends to watch in 2026. I highlighted this because the phrasing, it suggests these aren't established facts yet. These are the battlegrounds for the year.
It suggests volatility. That's the key.
Okay.
If a trend is fully established, you don't watch it. You account for it. You budget for it. You build your factories around it. When a report tells you to watch a trend, it's flagging a variable that could swing either way.
Ah, okay. So it's the difference between knowing the highway is there and watching for a traffic jam on it. These are the active plot points.
Right. These are the narratives that haven't found their ending yet. When the report highlights trends to watch, it's signaling where the friction is. Maybe it's a shift in financing models. Maybe it's the adoption rate of a new technology or inventory levels. These are the live wires on the 2026 dashboard.
And that connects right back to the reliability of the forecast we were just talking about. These trends are the variables that will ultimately prove the projections right or wrong.
Exactly right. The forecast is the container. The trends are the contents under pressure. You can't understand the top line number without monitoring these friction points. Mm-hmm. If one of those trends to watch accelerates faster than they think, say demand shifts radically to a different kind of vehicle, It breaks the whole projection.
So if I'm a listener and I'm watching these trends with the industry, I'm essentially looking for the early warning signs, signs of whether the year is going to meet expectations or, you know, fall off a cliff.
You're watching the plot twists before everyone else sees the movie. The trends to watch are the leading indicators, the projections. They're the lagging indicators. They're just the result.
I like that distinction, leading versus lagging. Now, let's widen the aperture a bit. Let's say I'm listening to this and I have zero intention of setting foot in a dealership this year. Maybe I'm happy with my car. Maybe I take the bus. Why should I care about the automotive outlook? Why does this matter to me?
Because the auto industry is the ultimate canary in the coal mine for the whole economy. It sits at the intersection of almost everything. You've got raw materials like steel and aluminum, advanced manufacturing, high-tech semiconductors, and, crucially, consumer credit.
It's massive. So if the auto sector sneezes, the whole GDP catches a cold.
It's even more direct than that for you, the consumer. I mean, think about it. A car is usually the second largest purchase a household makes, right after a home. So it is highly sensitive to interest rates, highly sensitive to consumer confidence. If this outlook shows tightening credit or supply chain problems, that's not just going to affect car prices. That inflation or that scarcity, it bleeds into appliances, electronics, even housing materials.
So reading this report is essentially like checking the blood pressure of the 2026 consumer economy.
And your own purchasing power. If the trends to watch in this report point to a contraction, if manufacturers are pulling back on projections, that's a signal that the big players are preparing for a downturn. And that might be a signal for you to tighten your own belt, regardless of what you drive.
That makes the stakes of a sales projection feel a lot more personal. It's not just about how many F-150s get sold. It's about whether the credit markets are functioning for everybody.
Correct. The market outlook dictates the reality on the street. It dictates availability. It dictates pricing power. And ultimately, it reflects whether the average person feels wealthy enough to make a long-term commitment. Because that's what a car loan is, a commitment to the future.
A commitment to the future. That's a heavy concept for a Tuesday morning. But it fits, doesn't it? This whole document is about trying to quantify the future.
It is, and that's why we analyze it. Because if you understand the outlook, you understand the playing field. You aren't just reacting to inflation or availability issues as they happen. You can see the logic behind them. You can see the mechanism working.
And that really is the goal here. We want to move from just observing the chaos to understanding the mechanics.
Because knowledge is most valuable when you can apply it. And understanding a forecast lets you apply that knowledge to your own life, your own budget. Even if you aren't buying a car, you're living in the economy this car market creates.
So let's circle back and just recap the structure of the source we're looking at. We've got the 2026 automotive market outlook and sales projections. We've established the outlook is the environmental scan, the qualitative assessment.
Right, the view through the windshield.
They've established that projections are the calculated bets based on that view, the math of confidence.
The probability curve, yeah.
And we've really dug into the sales trends to watch. These are the active narratives, the variables in motion.
The battlegrounds. The places where the forecast is going to be won or lost.
So knowing all that, how should our listener actually use this information? When they see a headline next week about auto sales being up or down, how should they filter that?
I think the takeaway is this. A forecast is only as good as your ability to read it in real time. Don't look at the projection as some static number. Look at the trends. If you see a headline that contradicts one of the trends to watch that are laid out here, that is a signal that the map itself is changing.
So don't just watch the traffic, watch the pattern.
Watch the pattern and watch the why. If sales are down, is it because demand is gone or because supply is stuck? Those are two very different economic realities, and they have very different consequences for your wallet.
Right. One is a supply chain hiccup. The other is a recession.
Exactly. And this report gives you the framework to tell the difference.
You know, there's one thing that keeps nagging at me. We're talking about projections for the full year of 2026, but we're only in January.
That's a very long year ahead.
A very long year. And historically, forecasts made in January, they rarely survive until December. Intact.
They almost never do. And that leads to a provocative thought I'd like to leave the listener with.
Let's hear it.
We are looking at a document that assumes the rules of the game stay relatively constant. It assumes the outlook is a stable baseline. But if history has taught us anything, especially in the 2020s, it's that stability is an illusion.
So the question is, what aren't we seeing?
The question is based on the title itself. If these are the projections based on today's logic, What unforeseen factor, what black swan, could completely disrupt this forecast by summer? What technology, what geopolitical shift, what consumer rebellion could make this entire document obsolete?
That's the ultimate risk, isn't it? The unknown variable that isn't on the trends to watch list because it doesn't even exist yet.
A forecast assumes the road is there, but sometimes the road washes out. And sometimes a completely new road opens up that no one saw coming.
Well, on that slightly terrifying but also exhilarating note, I think we'll wrap it up. The 2026 automotive market outlook is our map, but as you said, the territory is what matters.
Keep your eyes on the terrain.
Thanks for unpacking this with us. It's going to be a very interesting year on the road, and we'll be here to track those trends as they evolve.
Drive safe.
Bye, everyone.